Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Drive Time on RT Radio 1. Listen back on the RT Radio app.
Now, my next guest is one of Ireland's most successful singers who will be familiar to many of our listeners. But what you may not know is that Dublin tenor Paul Byrom was adopted from St. Patrick's Mother and Baby Home. In recent years, he registered his interest to find information about his birth mother with the state's online system in 2021 to access information about his early life. The Department of Children has told Drive Time this evening that over 7,200 people have applied for the statutory tracing service since it began. However, Paul says the process was challenging, but it has led him to finding his birth mother and forming a solid friendship. And Paul Byrom, you're very welcome and thank you very much for coming into us in studio today. So we might go back to, I suppose, your early life, if that's okay. The first couple of weeks of your life were spent at St. Patrick's Mother and Baby Home in the 1970s, the late 1970s. Can you talk to us a little bit about that time?
Yeah, well, for sure. So it's important to know, or to say from the get-go, that my mother, who adopted me, Kathleen, she always kind of told us, I grew up knowing I was adopted. This wasn't kind of a massive revelation at my 18th or something like that, you know. So we kind of grew up knowing that I was adopted, and therefore, you know, it was okay. It was kind of just part of my being, and I never really gave it much thought. And my mom told me what she knew, and sadly, which we found out years later, only recently, that was all a lie. You know, that we were told that this was a very wealthy girl. You know, she was, 16 years of age, and she came over to Ireland, stayed with her uncle, and her, I was delivered into a private nursing home, and that I was from good stock, and that was it. And so mom kind of was kind of happy with that, and I was happy with that. And because it was such a lovely fairy tale story, I never grew up with this kind of yearning or worry or anything like that about my birth mother. And that was all good. And my mom.
And sorry, I'll just bring you back for a second. So you were adopted. What age were you when you were adopted?
Oh, three. I was 3 weeks old.
3 weeks old.
Yeah,
okay.
I was 3 weeks old when I was adopted. So it was pretty much from the get go. You know, I've subsequently found out that the lady, my birth mother, when she had me, she was told that I was going the next day. To a surgeon and a nurse were adopting me, and of course that wasn't the case at all. So it was just. She was getting a whole load of lies, a fairy tale story. We got a fairy tale story. And she didn't realise that I would be on my own for 3 weeks in St. Patrick's. I didn't realise I was born into St. Patrick's. And as I said, grew up with this lovely romantic notion about my beginnings.
Okay, so God, I'm already confused, so I can't imagine how this must have been for you. So I'm going to bring you back again.
Yeah.
So what we know as fact is that you were born and you were put into St. Patrick's Mother and Baby Home in the late 1970s. When you're... adopted mother, your mother, as you call her,
Kathleen.
When Kathleen came to adopt you, she was told a story by the people working in St. Patrick's.
Yeah, it was like a Rotunda Girls Aid, I think was the name of the society that worked out of the Pro Cathedral. And literally that was the story that they were told, you know, and mom sent photos then, gave, you know, update photos to the Pro Cathedral to pass on to my birth mother, of which she never got.
So throughout your life, your mother was taking photos of you?
Well, for the early years, yeah, okay. For sure she did. And she just wanted to keep the lady somewhat in contact to know that I was well and healthy and happy. And as I said, I grew up in a very loving, open house, so there was no secrets. Do you know what I mean?
So she was taking these photos and sending them on to Pro Cathedral to be sent on to your birth mother.
Yeah.
And did your birth mother ever get those
photos?
Never
got them. Never got a thing, no. No, and when she signed the papers for me to be adopted, the one request she asked the nuns was, will you just ask them for some photos? And they were like, oh yeah, of course, we'll get them for you, no problem. And of course, they never did. They never did. When I started this process, I was expecting just to get the medical records. And then when I literally got a 2-page document sent to me in the outset, and I saw St. Patrick's Home, Dublin, and I thought, that doesn't that doesn't sound like a private nursing home. Of course, you Google St. Patrick's Home and you realise very quickly I was born into a mother's and baby's home. So I was hit by a bus. You know, it was quite traumatic at that point because I all I was thinking was like, well, what was my up? I just assumed that was other people. That was, you know, the likes of Christine Buckley who told the stories, you know, many, many moons ago. And I just assumed that that was that time, that era, and that was nothing to do with me. And so then it became a matter of urgency for me to find my birth mother because I wanted to know she was okay. I needed to know that she was okay. But more importantly, I wanted her to know I was okay. And my mother, Kathleen, was very much the driving force in me to go find my birth mother.
So, and that was a question I had. What led you to make that decision that you wanted to go find her?
I think every time I kind of, when I turned 30, I'd give it a thought. I'd go, I wonder, does she think of me? And then when I turned 40, I was like, I wonder, is she thinking of me? You know, is she still around or what? You know, I didn't know anything about her. And I suppose I was beginning to feel a little bit guilty that I knew she was powerless in finding me, that it had to be from me. And I think I just wanted to let her know she had nothing to feel guilty about. I needed her to know that I had a lovely upbringing. I was very loved, and that she had nothing to feel guilty about, and that I was very grateful to her, and I still am to this day. And I know both of them are listening today, and they're both wonderful women, and I've just been blessed. But it was important for me to get in touch with them, to let her know that. But also to find out these lies and it was infuriating. My mom, Kathleen, was really upset when she heard that we'd been lied to, you know, because there was no need for it. Absolutely no need for it. And as I said, my birth mother grew up with a totally different idea as well, you know.
And as you say, no need for it. So you decide to go and try to find your birth mother. And as you say, straight away, you're hit with the first untruth, which is that you were born in the mother and baby home. That's not what you've been told.
Yeah.
Can you talk to me then about the process? What was the process like?
The process was a bit of a nightmare. And it was only when I was preparing to come in here, it was refreshed, you know. I think because I wasn't in a panic, like it wasn't a burning thing inside of me to find my birth mother. I have to admit that. My mom was actually the driving force, as I said. She was like, I really want you to find her. You know, you need to find her. And so I was a little lapsedaisy about it. I kind of casually sent in an application in August of 2021, sorry. And then September, I got a confirmation that, I needed to send in like a driving license, but it had to be signed by a guard or a solicitor. And so then I did all of that. And then I kind of gave it. And then in October, I got an email saying, you've been registered by TUSLA. And then I heard nothing then till January. I emailed them going, is there any follow-up on this? And then another, somebody else, I had to go, the Adoption Authority of Ireland was who I initially started with. Then I went to TUSLA. And then it was another organisation. And then fast forward, that was kind of January. Then nothing for another while. I was assigned three different social workers over the period of time. Months would go up, you know. And then I all of a sudden eventually got, I think during that, things were like COVID was used as an excuse. There was a cyber attack was used as an excuse. It was just like one thing after another. Then I was told in May of 2022 that there'd been a match. So I thought, that's great. Mm. Like, this should be straightforward now. Nothing then till October. And I was like, how is this possible? Then I received this 20-page document because this new GDPR thing had come in 2022 or whatever it was. And they asked me to fill out this 20-page document. I was like, no, I'm not. I rang up the phone. I said, I'm not doing it. You've told me there's a match. Why would I be filling this out again? Mm. It was like three or four different departments, but nobody was talking to each other. You know what I mean? Mm. So that was October. And eventually March of 2023, we had been put in contact with each other and we met on my birthday, April 11th.
And how was that?
It was lovely. It was very odd. Obviously, initially, you don't know what you're walking into or who you're walking into. And she was lovely and charming from the get-go. And we hit it off straight away. But it was emotional. And it was emotional for her, I think, as well. You know, I think I resembled certain family members that she had. And we've kept in touch throughout. We've become friends. And I did say to her from the get-go, look, you know, I'm delighted to meet you, but, you know, Kathleen will always be mom. Mm. And she actually says, if anything ever changes, I'll kick you in the arse. You know, she was the same. And she was very grateful and to my mom. And she was very open. And she was like, look, you know, the life I wanted you to have, you got. So we were lucky, and it ended up well.
How did she react when she realised that your mom had been sending her photos that she'd never got?
It was very upsetting. And she then turned around and she said, I'm assuming you got the orange doggy I left in your cot. And I said, no. So she left a little orange doggy and she said, just make sure he has that. And I never got it. It was taken from me, and as I said, the photos never got to her. It was very cold, very callous. And look, you know, you could be angry, you can be bitter. I suppose I'm frustrated more than anything. But I think both my mom, Kathleen, and my birth mother are angry, you know, very angry at the way they were lied to. And I suppose, look, I think you hear so many bad endings to these stories. And I suppose I wanted to primarily come on to say to anybody that's out there that's kind of contemplating or maybe a little disillusioned or maybe browbeaten by this process, to not give up, because there's lovely resolution in it, and it can often be very rewarding. It can obviously often be upsetting and not maybe the result that you want, but yeah. there is good stories as well.
Although there's, from what you're describing there's pain along the way then in all those revelations, but then happiness for you.
Well, of course. And as I said, I'm very lucky in that I meet my birth mother, you know, for coffee every now and again. We have a great catch up or whatever else. And my mom now has a story. I mean, we were told she was, you know, 16, for example, before she was 20. Like, it was little things that just, it was just absolute fabrication, like, and unnecessary.
And is there anyone you can go to say why? Is there any way of getting answers?
Join the queue, you know, join the queue of people that want answers from the Catholic Church, you know, and this was run out of the rotunda, out of the pro-cathedral. It was the nuns that ran the home in which I was born. So they're the ones that have the answers. And of course, you're never going to get the answers. I mean, that's unfortunately the infuriating thing. Nobody's accountable. It's one of those things, I suppose, you can get bogged down with the anger and the upset over it. I'd love to know why, but there's no point in kind of, I've got my resolution out of it. Primarily, as I said, I wanted to meet my birth mother to thank her. And also, you know, what's lovely is to be here sitting with yourself and encouraging other people to do it and telling them not to lose hope. And that if anybody is contemplating doing it, they should, because, you know, everybody talks regularly about the children of these mothers and babies' homes, but you must imagine the pain and the guilt and the sorrow that the ladies had giving up their child. I can't even begin to imagine it. You know, without going into detail, too much detail about the actual process that my birth mother went through, but she walked from the maternity ward back to St. Patrick's on her own down a little lane, just leaving me behind. That's horrific.
With the orange teddy.
With the orange teddy that she never got, that I never got. And she never saw me again. And that was it. And she often used to sit and wonder, you know, what had become of me? You know, where was I? Was I alive? You know? And vice versa. Every now and again, I'd be like, you know, where is she? So after meeting her and realising she's an incredibly strong woman, I've been blessed, as I said, with two strong women in my life, and they're both listening tonight. And on its shout out, a huge thank you to both of them. I wouldn't be a fraction of the man I am without them.
The love and respect that you have for them, Paul, is just radiating out of you. And I really appreciate you coming on to share your story and to send out that message of positivity to people who might be listening.
There is hope there for those that are disillusioned.
The department did send a statement to Drive Time saying that they would advise anyone looking to establish contact with relatives to register a preference on the contact preference register if they haven't yet done so, and that allows people to register their wishes in relation to contact with family, as well as providing contact details, information and items for sharing with specified family members. And they say if anyone is having any issues in navigating that portal, they can contact TUSLA or the Adoption Authority for assistance, and contact details are available on www.birthinfo.ie/contact-us. Paul Byram, I really appreciate you, as I said, coming in to share your story with us this evening.